One of the reasons I love being a Calvary Chapel pastor is because I always know what the next message is going to be. It's fairly simple. Wherever we left off with a couple of days ago is what we're going to pick up on again. I can start to look ahead, start to prepare my heart. I know on this Sunday's Easter, but next Sunday we left off in Matthew 5. So I'm getting ready for Matthew chapter 6 because that's what we do around here. And I love it and I like it. But then you have these holiday services. And what are you supposed to teach? I mean, I know it's Good Friday, and I know I need to bring up the cross of Calvary. I know if I don't talk about the cross, some of you will string me up after the service. I understand that. We want to talk about the cross, but how and through what lens and how? And kind of what the Lord put on my heart as I was praying through those exact questions was for us to take a few minutes tonight, just a few minutes, to look at John chapter 10, where Jesus tells us some pretty important things about himself. So you understand a little bit of the context. John's gospel, where we just read, is so different than any other gospel that's out there. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're called synoptic gospels. And what that means is they give a summary, a synopsis of the life of Jesus, and that's their intent, and that's their point. John is called by the Bible scholars a didactic gospel. And what that means is it's teaching. It's trying to communicate something to you and to me as we read it and study it. Not that we don't learn something from each of the Gospels. That's not what I mean. But John has a purpose. He has a structure to his gospel. It's why he organizes his gospel around seven miracles and seven I am statements. It's all trying to teach us something about the Lord. And those I am statements, well, two of them appear in the text we just read where Jesus said, I am the door and I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Those I am statements kind of refer back to in your heart and mind to Exodus chapter 3. When Moses, you remember the story, he's watching his sheep wandering around in the wilderness and all of a sudden he comes to a bush that is speaking to him. That's crazy. He walks up to this burning bush that is speaking to him, and the bush, well, it's the Lord, you know that, speaking through the bush, says to him, I'm going to use you, Moses. You are going to be the one that's going to lead my people out of Egypt. And Moses says, when I go and tell them this, I need to tell them who it was that sent me. Because if I tell them a burning bush sent me, a talking plant sent me, they're not going to follow me anywhere. Who are you? He says to this burning bush. And you know the story, most of you do. God says, I am that I am. I am. That doesn't really answer the question, does it? Who are you? I am. You are what? You are what? I mean, if I asked you, what's your name? And you said, my name is. That's not an answer. That's not an answer. God says, I am. And oh, it means to become. I know that. But do you understand the fulfillment of the answer came when Jesus showed up? Because he said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I'm the resurrection. And in our text tonight, I am the door and the good shepherd. Now, speaking of those two, that's kind of an odd thing to call yourself. I'm a door. I'm a shepherd. What in the world did Jesus mean by these things? And what does it have to do at all with why we're here tonight, Good Friday? Well, hold on. We'll get there. First off, Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the door. We've got to get in our mind what a sheepfold looked like in the first century when Jesus was walking around and teaching. So if we put some of these on the screen, you can see. They were normally there in the first century, circular in nature, with one kind of opening to get in and get out. That was a standard sheepfold in the first century. And an Old Testament scholar by the name of George Smith was walking around in Israel, and he saw one of these first century sheepfolds, and he saw a young shepherd, and he said, it seems like there's a flaw to your design. Doesn't it seem like sheep can get out? I mean, there's no door. And not just can the sheep get out, predators can get right in. There's no door. How do you prevent the sheep from getting out? How do you stop predators from coming in? There is no door. And the shepherd said, that's because I am the door. And this Old Testament scholar suddenly, his understanding of what Jesus said so many centuries ago just lit up for all of us to understand. Jesus says, I am the door. And you know what that means, precious church? It means that he is salvation. He is salvation. Do you understand that? Jesus didn't say, I am a door. He didn't say, I'm one of many possible doors. He says, I'm the only way to get into this sheepfold called heaven, called God's people. I am the only way in. And some of you need to hear that. Some of you know we've got a problem called sin. I've sinned, you've sinned, we all sin. And sometimes we think we've got to deal with it by letting good deeds outweigh our bad deeds, by doing some kind of religious thing like showing up to a Good Friday service. But can I tell you what you already know in your heart? No matter how many religious things you do, you're not okay. You know you're not okay. I don't have to convince you of that. You know you're not okay. Because the Holy Spirit is in your ear day in and day out saying, you're not okay. You need a Savior. You need something else. This religious stuff that you're doing isn't it. It's not dealing with the greatest issue in your heart, which is sin. You need a Savior. And praise the Lord, that's exactly who Jesus is. He is our Savior. What he did on the cross deals with my sin. He paid for my sin. He paid for your sin. He made the way to get to heaven. Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Not a way, not a truth. I'm the way. You have to enter through him, precious men and women. It has to go through belief and a relationship with him. Why? Because he is the door. He's the door. He's the door to salvation. Secondly, he's the door of protection. We also need to see tonight that nothing gets in our sheepfold without going through him. Now that might hurt some of you at first because you think, wait a second, I've had some really horrible things happen to me. I've had some really difficult experiences come my way, and you're telling me, Pastor, that Jesus as the door allowed those things in my life? Please understand what I mean by that. Most of the difficult things that have happened to me in my life are for a few reasons. Number one, because I sin. I do things that are wrong, and there's always consequences for that, isn't there? I make poor choices, and I have to deal with those things, and they hurt. It's why God, who loves me in heaven, says, don't do that in the first place. Sometimes I suffer because I have been a fool. Sometimes you and I suffer because other people have been a fool. Because they have sinned. Because they have decided to not do what God's word tells them to do. And you and I suffer because they have sinned. Some of us suffer because we live in this fallen world with sickness and shame and disease. It is all an outflow of sin. So when I say God allowed it, please don't understand. It's not that God wanted it in your life and my life. But you know what he does? Romans 8:28 says he takes all the things of our life. The good things, the bad things, the results of sinful things, and he works them for good in our lives. Listen, I know there's an enemy, and I know he whispers in your life every single day that the hurts that you've experienced, God's done that to you. God's against you. Friend, God wants to work those things for good in your life because he is the door. He's the door to salvation. He's the door for protection. He's thirdly the door for direction. You see, verse 9 says, we follow him into good pastures. You want to know where to go next in your life. You want to know what next holds. You need to follow the king. You need to realize he's not against you. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. He's for you. And as you cling to him and follow him and grow in him, he's going to lead you into green pastures. How do you know, Pastor Jason? How do you know that he's working things for good in your life? How do you know that following him produces green pastures? How do you know? because of the next thing Jesus says. After saying, I am the door, not a door, the door. Next he says, I am a good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Now again, that may need some clarification for you and I. Now that we understand what the door means, that he is the way into the sheepfold of heaven. He's the way that things go in, things go out. But what about a shepherd? I mean, most of us go to a job site during the day. So we know what it's like to be a good employee, to be a good teacher, to be a good parent. Most of us are not shepherds. So what in the world entails being a good shepherd? We got to understand. In the first century, sheep were primarily used for their wool and milk. Not so much their meat, because that's kind of a scary thing. The good shepherd saying, I'm taking good care of you so I can eat you. That's a weird picture. That's not what Jesus is saying. A good shepherd wouldn't eat his sheep. A good shepherd would take care of the sheep, would make sure they were well fed, well cared for, well protected, because his life was affected by how the sheep were doing. And that little sheep, his whole life was affected by how good his shepherd is. Friends, we have the good shepherd. We have the good shepherd. And he says, you know that? How do we know that? Because he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Here's where it ties into Good Friday. He's willing to lay down his life for his sheep. The love that it took for Jesus to be up there on that cross for you and for me, I, with all the words that I can use, will not be able to adequately describe to you tonight the type of love that Jesus has for you. It takes love to die. I think often when I think of Jesus dying for his sheep and what it is to be a good shepherd, I think often of something David said. David, King David, when he was a young man, he's interacting with King Saul. Again, you know the story. There's a big guy named Goliath out there in the field of Elah. And there's Goliath saying, send me your best warrior. And all the Israeli soldiers are like, ain't gonna go. No way. Not even Saul, who was taller than anybody else. He wouldn't even go. But David says, I'll do it. I'll go. And Saul looks at him and says, you're just a youth. What do you know about battle? What do you know about fighting? And you remember what David said, right? It'll be up on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. I love that because it was like this morning. He's like, I used to be a shepherd. Now I'm a warrior. I used to be a shepherd a couple hours ago. And listen. Here's the key part. Listen to him describe it. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard, struck it, and killed it. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is not David bragging. This is what he would do. He's watching his sheep in that sheepfold like you could picture. A lion comes and takes one of the little lambs. David says, I run at that lion. I keep beating it on the face till it lets the lion go. And then if it would dare come against me, I take it and just till it's gone. David was the man, friends. David was the man. And I read that and then I think, what would I do? What would I do if I was looking after little sheepies and a lion took one of those sheep? Can I be honest tonight? I'd go, stinks to be you, little sheep. I would kick that little fluffy guy to the curb and I would run as fast as I could. If a bear came and picked a sheep up in its mouth, I would gather the rest of the sheep and say, run, run. I would do none of what David says in this text. And as I was praying about that, this obvious character flaw, the Lord ministered to my heart. You know why you wouldn't? Because you have no emotional connection to a sheep. A real sheep. What about us? I love you guys. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about real animals. I would never wrestle a real sheep out of the mouth of a lion. Would never happen. Why? No emotional connection. But This summer, my family and I were going to Yosemite. We're going to take a lot of good hikes in the woods. And here's what I know that I know that I know. If we're on one of those hikes, and a bear comes out of the woods and sees my little Aaliyah, my little 8-year-old daughter, and decides she looks like a T-bone, and begins to come after her, what would I do? I know what I would do. I would run right at that bear. Now, I'm not David. I have no intention of grabbing it and starting to beat it. I know that would never happen. The bear would have me as its lunch, and hopefully they would get away. I know that. I know that. But I know I would die trying to stop that bear from affecting my family. I would grab it. I would let it gnaw on my face. I would let it do all of that because I love those kids. I love my wife. Without even a thought, I know what I would do if some bear was attacking my children, because I love them. Do you realize the kind of love it actually takes to lay down your life for somebody else? You do, because you see it in your own heart. Now, understand, that is the type of love Jesus has for you. The type of love that Jesus has for you, as we put on our Good Friday advertisement, he holds nothing back. There is nothing that Jesus wouldn't have done and gone through to save you, because he loves you. No matter what people think about you, no matter what the enemy is whispering in your ear right now, friend, the greatest fact of history is that Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that when they put his arms around a post and took out that cat of nine tails and began to beat him, where the little bits of bone would stick in his back and rip out parts of skin, and he didn't stop it. He didn't say, "This is unfair. All I did was love people. All I did was teach people." He stood there and he took it. Why? Because he loves you. When they took him and they slammed a crown of thorns on his head and blood started coming down, at any moment, do you realize at any moment, he could have said, whoosh, and those people would have been gone. But he let him do it. Why? Because he loves you. He loves me. He let them take his hands and nail them to a cross, to put his feet and nail him through the ankles. And then this process of having to push himself up on a cross that would rip into his back every time he pushed up. And he never called it off. He never said enough's enough. In fact, more than the pain of crucifixion, he then bore every ugly thing I have ever done, every ugly thing you have ever done, because he loves us. Don't question the love of the Lord. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Paul says the greatest demonstration of love was what Jesus did for you and me that we celebrate tonight. Listen, we call it Good Friday, not because it was good for Jesus. There was nothing he held back. As they beat him and crucified him and abused him, as he took on my sin and yours, there was nothing he held back. And he did it because he loves us. You ask me, how do I know that God's going to work things for good in my life? Because I know what Jesus did for me. You ask me how I know that I can cling to him and follow him into good pastures, even if in your life right now it doesn't seem good. Because I know what he did for you and me. I know that he is the good shepherd who laid down his life for someone like me and someone like you, with as many of awful things as we've done, as many attitudes as we've had, as many times we've gone our own way and strayed, he still did it all for you and me. And that's how I know. I know that I can trust he's the way to salvation. I can trust that he is going to allow things into my life and work them for good, even if they were a result of someone else's sin and rebellion. I know. I can follow him and cling to him into good things because of what he did for you and I. The question is, do you know that? Do you know that? You see, it's not enough tonight that I know that Jesus is the door to salvation. Do you know that he's the door? Do you believe that he is your hope, your answer, your salvation? Do you know that, friends? Maybe there was a time that you did. Maybe there was a time when you knew what it was like to walk with God. And even tonight as we worship, there's something in you that reminds you, that's those songs that we sang of a call long ago in your heart. And I bet you're tired of running. I bet you're tired of straying. I bet you're ready to run into the arms of the one that has loved you like no one ever has. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we come before you tonight, and the majority of us in this room, we come to a Good Friday service because we are so thankful that you died for us. We know it. Oh, we forget it. We do crazy things, but we know. We know you're the way to salvation. We know that you're following you into green pastures. We know that you died for us and you love us. We know it, and we celebrate it tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us more than anyone ever has or ever will. But Lord, my heart is just burdened right now for anyone in the room who maybe doesn't know that. The enemy has been telling them that you don't love them. Every evidence around them in their life has just been showing them that life is hard. And some of them tonight have just been running and rebelling from what they know to be true, that you are their good shepherd. Some of them tonight, Lord, have never had that moment in their life. They've never had that moment of saying, God, come into my heart and come into my life. And I believe, Lord, tonight's the night that you want to touch them. Lord, we would normally do this on Easter, but I just want to give every opportunity, Good Friday and Easter, to see people meet the one that has changed my world and so many else's in this room. Tonight, Lord, would you call some people to your side? Would you call them to follow you? And we will give you the glory. Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, before we hand out the elements of communion, I really believe some of you need to respond tonight to Jesus. To not wait till Sunday. You need to respond tonight. Some of you maybe have never, ever truly submitted your heart to the Lord and said, God, I need you to be my Savior. I've been trying all this religious stuff, and I know what you said, Pastor Jason, was true. I know I'm not okay. I know I need a Savior, and the Lord is saying to you tonight, are you ready to be okay? Are you ready for me to wrap you in my arms and just love on you? Are you ready for that tonight, some of you? I think you are. I think there are a few of you tonight who you know what it's like to be held by the Lord spiritually. You know what it's like to sit in this room even and worship the Lord and let tears fill your eyes. You know what it's like, but you've been somewhere else for a long time. I'm not talking about a church. I'm talking you've been somewhere else than your relationship with God. And there's this part of you that longs to come home. Friend, you know the story, don't you? You know the story of the prodigal son. You know that God sits there with arms open wide. He says, come on home. Come on home. And so again, I know we would normally do this on Easter, but I just really felt led. We're going to do this right now. If you want to submit your heart to the Lord tonight, whether for the first time or you've been straying and you need to come home. I'm not saying you have some sin issues. I mean, every one of us could be up front. If we're like, I struggle occasionally with sin. All of us struggle occasionally with sin. I'm saying you know that God brought you here on purpose tonight because he loves you. And you're ready to say, I love you too. I want to walk with you. We're going to do a song. And if that's you tonight, I'm going to ask you to be bold. I'm going to ask you to come stand right up front here and say, I'm ready to follow Jesus as we were singing tonight. It always takes the first person. And then there's others that say, oh, I want to do that too. Put your pride aside. Put your own ideals of what church is aside. Realize someone loves you so much. His name is Jesus, and he's ready to captivate your heart for the first time or anew and afresh tonight if you've strayed from him. So we're going to sing this song one time through. If you need to be up here, you come up here. You stand up here. Let the Lord call you like he called Matthew, like he called John, like he called his disciples. He called them openly and publicly and said, I want you to follow me. He's saying that to some of you tonight. We're going to sing. You come up front. Let's sing. Let's worship the Lord. You know the Lord? You be praying right now. You be interceding right now. Father, we just as a congregation lift up these precious men and women who came forward tonight. Lord, some of them maybe for the first time just saying, I want to walk with you. I pray that you would give them every spiritual gift they need to walk with you, Jesus. Lord, some of them coming to you again. They've been going their own way and doing their own thing. And I pray, we pray together as a church family that that would stop tonight. That tonight they would walk with you in spirit and in truth from this moment forward, knowing that you love them and the world doesn't, knowing that you are for them and their flesh is not, that they would follow you. Lord, as a body of believers, we just put our hands on these precious men and women and say, Lord, do with them something great, something amazing. Use them, amaze them. Lord, I will never forget when I walked down an aisle and I said, Lord, my life would be yours. If you'd have told me what was ahead, I would have never believed it. Lord, you've got great and mighty things for these precious men and women. Lord, their sin is gone. Their sin is forgiven. And Lord, nothing but what you have before them is ahead. So we commit them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys. Amen, amen, amen. You can go take your seats. We haven't even done what we've come here to do tonight, to take communion yet, but that was important. That was important. Amen. Now that we all know and love Jesus, right? Because why did you not up here? I don't understand. But now that we all know and love Jesus, communion time. It's time to celebrate what Jesus did for you and me, to remember what he did on the cross. So we're going to sing. The men are going to hand out the elements of communion. And as they do, would you do me a favor? Would you hold them? And we'll take them all together to close our service in just a few minutes. So the men will come forward, take the elements, hold them for just a couple of minutes. Lord, we are so thankful for what you did on Calvary's cross for us. And Lord, as we looked at on Wednesday night, you took a portion of that meal you had with your disciples on Thursday night, that Jewish Passover, and as you passed the bread around, you said, this is now the bread of the new covenant. This bread is my body broken for you, and this cup now represents, Lord, the blood that I will shed for you. And you told us to do it in remembrance of you. And so, Lord, we remember what you went through. We remember what it means that you love us, no matter what the world is telling us right now, you love us. And Lord, I always think about the fact you told your disciples, I'm not going to do this till I do this with you in heaven. Lord, someday you're going to lead the communion service in heaven. And I believe that day is soon and very soon as we look at our world around us. So Lord, one day the troubles will be over. One day the trials will end. And so I pray we'd remember you and embrace you and follow you with every day and every breath that we have left. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's partake of the elements together. Would you stand with me after you're done partaking? Just a reminder, don't forget Easter, because Good Friday isn't the end of the story, right? Amen. I'm so thankful Jesus died for our sins, but Paul said, if there is no resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. Praise the Lord. Jesus rose from the grave. And we will celebrate that together Sunday morning in the park. Hope you can be with us. Let's go ahead and let's close with a song.